Roto Grinders presents the Daily Fantasy Fix podcast. Dan Bach talks to the biggest personalities in DFS, delivers commentary on the industry's most important topics, and gives you the advice you need to help build winning lineups.
Both the salary and the matchup are just too good. If you are not playing him in your head-to-head games, you are just going to lose.
You didn't really think we were going to get rid of that, did you?
Here's your host, the one and only, Dan Bach.
Hey everybody, what's up? Welcome. It is the Wednesday edition of the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Dan Bach here with you, talking all things DFS here on this Wednesday. And of course, that's mainly going to be NBA conversation. So if you're an NBA player, we'll have that for you. But we also are bringing in an interview today. That's right. We're going to have the Fantasy Draft Carolina Millions winner, Small Time. He'll be with us towards the end of the show, so stick around for that. Hear about his experience out there at the Carolina Millions, his thought process in building that lineup, and yeah, we've got the big winner, so we love talking to that because, let's face it, Fantasy Draft's been a great sponsor of the show, and we thought it would only make sense to kind of give their big winner of their NFL championship a shout out and kind of hear from him a little bit about his experiences on Fantasy Draft. And if you haven't played there already, please do check him out. Go through our links here on Roto Grinders, and you're going to get access to our premium content for a couple of months, and I think you'll enjoy it as well. Definitely a different look to their lineup building experience on Fantasy Draft as opposed to the other sites. And even more on top of that, they're listening to you, the customers, making a lot of changes and doing a lot of good things, including lower rake. And again, their new matchup blocker, you can block a number of players you don't want picking up your games, and you can set it up so only one person or two people or however many you want can pick up head-to-head games you post. So really no reason not to post games over there on Fantasy Draft, and I hope I continue to see their site grow with listeners from you playing over there. All right, let's get to NBA for tonight. I break it down positionally, and we always start at the point guard spot. Decent schedule for us here tonight, and I think there's a lot of ways we can go, too, because we've got some expensive players on the slate, as you know, unlike yesterday where we didn't have that many superstars. We had LeBron, but that was like about it. Today, we've got a ton of guys on the high end, so let's get into it. We'll start at point guard, and again, this is a spot where I don't really see me paying down. This could be kind of a middle tier spot. I'm just not locating a ton of value at this point in time. So the guys in the middle tier who are standing out to me, we get Kyrie Irving against Denver. He should be back in the lineup again tonight. Only 8,100 over there on FanDuel. 8K, I believe, over there on, or maybe 8,200 over on DraftKings, and 15-6 on Fantasy Draft. He's a guy who I'm going to have some exposure to. You're looking at Denver defense, 26 versus the point guard position in the DVP. And Kyrie a couple of days off and coming off that loss to Chicago where they couldn't get really anything going offensively. They really need him in that on that lineup. And he's just too cheap today. I think he's going to get over 40 fantasy points. Wouldn't surprise me for him to get over 50 fantasy points tonight. He's going to be a core play for me. We also got Kyle Lowry in the best DVP matchup on the slate today going against Phoenix. This is, I believe, the final stop on their road trip. They've seemingly been on the road for a while, but this is a third game and four night situation as well for Toronto. But a guy who is priced fairly at 8K on FanDuel, 8,300 on DraftKings, 15.5 on Fantasy Draft is very, very fair. And like we mentioned, this is like the best matchup. Even George Hill had a pretty good game versus this team yesterday. So you got to think that that Kyle Lowry can certainly get it done against Phoenix in this spot. So, again, I think today, even though there are a lot of stars, I think like a fair and balanced build is not the worst idea, and he kind of fits that mold there at that 8K price tag on DraftKings. Other guys that I'm liking a good bit today, I think Eric Bledsoe feels a little bit too cheap here against Rondo and New Orleans here on the road. He's at 6,900. I think that's a better spot for him on FanDuel. When you look at previously, he was over in the 75, 76 range. Now he's under 7K, and I mean, he's been at 32 fantasy points or more three consecutive games and definitely has 40 fantasy point upside. Matchup versus Rondo's just fine. Better value for you on FanDuel. DraftKings is pretty much at that same price. I do like the number at 12.5 on fantasy draft for him. So we got him at 4% project or 35 point projection for FanDuel, about 34 DraftKings and fantasy draft. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility today for see him get to 40 fantasy points here, and I like him a good bit here tonight at that price point. Let's see, Rondo triple double last game. I mean, I don't know. I think people are going to play Rondo, and I'm a little bit worried here in this matchup. Again, third and four nights is one thing, but it's another thing when you're kind of old like Rondo is and you've played 42 and 37 minutes in those two games. We'll see if Davis plays. I think that does kind of limit a little bit of his upside from what we've seen the last couple of games, but he's really too cheap on FanDuel at 5,800. 63 on DraftKings is probably right where he needs to be. Same with 12.9 on fantasy draft, and I think a lot of people are going to go there. I don't know. I don't think I'm going to do it in cash. I think I want a little bit more certainty. I think there's guys who are a little bit more in better lineups that I would rather roll out there. I just worry about what his role is going to be. And let's face it, Milwaukee, pretty tough versus the point guard position. So it's not a smash spot by any measure. On the high end, you got Westbrook, you got Lillard. Probably not playing either of these two guys. I think you could maybe make a case for Russell Westbrook just to be like, F it, I'm going to go ahead and do what I do, and we're going to start winning games. I don't think that's an impossibility because he's got to be frustrated with them. I mean, they lost to Brooklyn the other day. I mean, come on. So he's 11-2, though. I mean, you've got so many different options. I've already talked about the guys that I kind of like at point guard. I just don't necessarily think it's necessary to roll him out there. Same with kind of Kemba Walker today. Like, I'd play him in a stack. You know, if you want to run a couple of Houston guys and a couple of Charlotte guys, go right ahead. I don't see a problem in doing that. But as a standalone, probably doesn't work versus Chris Paul. Let's see. Nobody else. I mean, Elfrid Payton's all over the map, but he's too expensive. I don't think we can go there. Chris Dunn, what, 7,400 on FanDuel, but he's going against Utah, which is not the best spot. You can maybe make a case for him on DraftKings, but probably not even there. Keep your eye on John Wall. He might return today. They didn't play him yesterday, and I think it's because they had a back-to-back, and if you're going to bring a guy back, why not do it at home? But I would be worried a little bit about whether or not he's ready to play a full like 35 plus minutes here after being out for the last month or so. So keep your eye on that one. He's only 7,900 on DraftKings. So that one could be somewhat interesting there at 7,900. You're not playing him at 93 on FanDuel and 15.6 on Fantasy Draft. He's pretty cheap over there too. So keep your eye on that situation if you're playing those two sites as, you know, a potential go spot. One middle tier guy nobody ever plays might be a spot, could be Goran Dragic today. I know the minutes have kind of been scaled back a little bit into the mid-20s, but you don't mind this matchup versus Portland and Damian Lillard, and played pretty well each of the last two games. Over a fantasy point a minute, 30 and 25, 37 and 28. I'm not sure why they're kind of cutting back his minutes, but he hasn't been over 30 minutes since November the 26th. So that's kind of the risk that you run with Mr. Dragic today. But he's getting it done on a per-minute basis. 6,200 on DraftKings, 12K on Fantasy Draft. All right, let's go over to shooting guard next. And, of course, we've got James Harden. If you can fit James Harden into your team, you might want to play him. He's pretty good. But I think there's a lot of spots here that we can pivot to. Again, looks like Nick Batum's going to miss. Jeremy Lamb, dog of a game last time out for my teams. Probably yours as well. So that's, you know, one guy, though, that could rebound here. Should play a lot of minutes, I would think, in this game. We've got him projected at 30 fantasy points and at 5K over on FanDuel. That's a pretty good price. He's a little bit more expensive over on DraftKings, so definitely one guy who stands out more as a FanDuel option. Gary Harris, keep your eye on this situation. The matchup isn't great. A road game in Boston, tough environment. But we saw Will Barton get banged up yesterday in that fourth quarter. So if Barton would sit, I think that would just open up more shots for a guy like Gary Harris. And maybe even Jamal Murray out there at the point guard spot, who we didn't talk too much about, but there's going to be shots to go around if Will Barton is out. Gary Harris, one of those guys who can get a a bump there. Tyreke Evans, kind of interesting here. Big pace-up game here versus Washington. Really dudded out against Miami last game, but Miami's just kind of like a stay away. They're too good defensively. So I could see him come back and have a good game here. He had 53 against Oklahoma City, a 37 against Toronto. I mean, Kyle Lowry's not a bad defender by any measure. So I could see him getting back to another very productive game here today. So I think he's fine at the shooting guard spot if you want to go there. If you're looking for a cheap guy, you've got Eric Gordon at 5,200, again, against Charlotte. He finally got back going with 29 fantasy points in that last game. And, you know, the price jumped up a little bit because he was at 4.7 on FanDuel. Now he's 5.2. Definitely liked him more in the 4K range, so maybe a little bit more on DraftKings. And on Fantasy Draft, we've got him at 10-1, maybe a little bit too pricey over there. DeMar DeRozan, fine against Phoenix. Again, they should smash. It's not impossible to see him, you know, go for like a 50 fantasy point game in this one at 8.8. He and Bradley Beal. Beal last night got off to just a wicked hot start, slowed down, but he's got Memphis. Really, you know, if you're choosing between those, it's hard not to go against or with DeMar DeRozan. 29th DVP in Phoenix versus Bradley Beal, who is the 9th DVP against Memphis. Now, over on DraftKings, you get $1,000 savings on Bradley Beal. He's only 7,600 out there. I don't think that, I think you can look at things a little bit different between those two because he's 800 cheaper than DeRozan, as opposed to 200 cheaper on FanDuel. So always look across the different sites to see the pricing. It definitely makes a difference. I'm not playing each one more. I think last game was a bit of an outlier here. Wing players versus Milwaukee is usually a spot I tend to avoid, so no thank you. And then Jrue Holiday obviously had that smash game. If Davis would sit today, I think we could go back to him. It's not really a lock and load for me at 7,400. I like him. Again, if Davis is playing, I'm completely off of him. And I think Davis will potentially, will probably play today, but we'll see. Donovan Mitchell against Chicago in a road game. You know, Mitchell, I think we got to give him some looks here. I don't think anybody's going to play him, number one. 7K on DraftKings, 76 FanDuel, and 13-1 on Fantasy Draft. Really attractive over there. I mean, he's had had a tough matchup there. We talk about wings against Milwaukee, not so hot. So if we throw that 24 out, he had a nice game against Houston and OKC at 37, 48. This guy's going to, going to keep shooting the basketball. They need him to. And I think he can have a 40 spot in him here against Chicago, who certainly has been playing better. Should be a pretty competitive game. So I love him for tournaments. I don't know if he's going to fit my cash game build. Again, if you're fair and balanced, maybe. But definitely a guy I've got my eye on tonight. All right, I think that's mostly where I'm looking at today at the shooting guard. I don't want to throw too many names out there if I'm not looking to play him. McCollum, just can't do it against Miami. I don't see it. It's tough spot there. Cheap enough for sure, 68, 70, 67, but probably not the spot that I'm looking to spend up at. All right, let's get to small forward next. And we'll start. There's a lot of guys we can go to. I mean, Giannis is fine. I probably am not playing him today, but you could. 12-1 is really an expensive price unless major value opens up. But he's okay. But there's just so many different names to go to, and there is some value at this position too. Number one, let's start with Denver, and another nice game by Wilson Chandler yesterday at a really cheap price tag, 41 on FanDuel, 46 on DraftKings. Gave you 25 fantasy points, played 27 minutes, and another guy, if Will Barton's out, keep your eye on. I think that's going to just give him more usage in that offense. So there's value number one. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist against Houston. See him playing a good number of minutes. I mean, they had him guarding Russell Westbrook in that last game against Kansas City and played 34 minutes. I could see a similar situation for him here in this game against James Harden, just being on the floor a lot. Now, you do risk the foul trouble, and that could, you know, get you out of the game. And I don't think he's a 40 fantasy point guy like we saw last game. I mean, 42, but he did shoot 8 of 9 from the field, which is a little bit, you know, unsustainable, and had 4 steals, which is a little bit unsustainable. And on FanDuel, that's 12 whole points right there. So I think, could he get to 30 tonight? Absolutely. At 4,800, do we take that? Absolutely. So I think he's a guy to keep our eye on a good bit today. Paul George, I don't know how you don't play him on FanDuel. He's 7,600. Looks like 7,700 on DraftKings. I know he hasn't been great, but, you know, back in Indiana, I don't know what kind of reception he gets. I know the first time he played the Pacers, I thought he would smash, and he had like 19 fantasy points. But I feel better about this one. I'm playing Paul George in most of my lineups today. Just too cheap, too. I mean, if he's 8,500, you can pass. But this is like a nut low salary for him this season. So, all aboard. Paul George train. See if he screws us today. Another value at this spot I've overlooked is David Nwaba. We don't love the matchup versus Utah, but they are middle of the road DVP versus his position, 12th. And he's just really a guy who's been producing in the minutes they're giving him. 24, 28, 30. That's his fantasy production. Has been over 30 minutes in 2 of the last 3 games. Just 4,100 over there on DraftKings. 7,900 against or on fantasy draft. I mean, you don't make money playing guys against Utah all that much, but Nwaba seems to have a role there. And keep your eye on that situation. Especially, we've got to check the news on Markkanen to see what he's going to be, where he's going to be with the Bulls today. Is if he's out, we've got some other values at the power forward spot. So there is some value. Sam Dekker played a pile of minutes last time out, and he gets Orlando. Of course, Gallinari not likely to go. So he had 27 minutes and made the most of them. 4 of 11 from the field, 4 of 5 free throw shooting, 5 boards, 22 fantasy points. You'll take that at 3,600. So he's going to be popular in the stacks of the Stars and Scrub type of lineups out there. So 73 on Fantasy Draft, 35 on DraftKings. So keep your eye on Sam Dekker today. Darren Collison, somewhat questionable. If he was out, if he doesn't play today, I think we've got Corey Joseph at point guard who gets a little bit of a bump. But I think Lance Stevenson as well at 4,500 gets a little bit of a usage bump for Kansas or OK or against OKC. Jonathan Simmons, really like him. Again, we've got no Fournier. Terrence Ross is out. The salary is climbing on him, though. That's the kind of problem we have. 65 on FanDuel, 64 on DraftKings. Fantasy draft, he's at 12-6. But I think he's going to play anywhere from 30 to 40 minutes in this game. And against the Clippers, we've got him projected at 28 fantasy points. It's probably a good baseline, but I think he can go for like 32, 33 today. He went for 46 last game out against the Atlanta Hawks. But Simmons, he's kind of a do-everything guy. That's what I like about him, is just fills up all the stats. Doesn't need to score to have a big game. It's pretty hard to get excited about Phoenix right now. Man, you know, TJ Warren, tough matchup today. The number one DVP in the league here against small forwards. So probably not going to pay that 8K price tag on him. But he's really cheap over there on DraftKings. You know, I said he was a plug-and-play yesterday on DraftKings, and he only gave you 27 fantasy points. But, you know, let's look at it. Sacramento's terrible matchup. Tough defensive team. Play slow. Still shot the ball 24 times in that game. That was a season high in terms of shot attempts for him. So I feel like he absolutely could have smashed that salary yesterday. And at even cheaper today, he was 69 yesterday, 67 on DK. That's a spot that I'm looking to play. Out of the 3 sites, that's the place to play him. AK on FanDuel, you got to reserve that for tournaments. If you want to stack that game up, he's certainly a guy you want in your stacks. No question about it. All right, let's get to power forward next. And, you know, there's a couple guys that we got to look at. Trey Lyles, number one, has really picked up the play as of late. And I think we got to look at him a little bit at 4,300. Solid minutes at 27, 26. Maybe a little bit of an outlier on the shooting. 7 of 7 last game. Probably not going to see that. Probably not going to go 3 for 3 from 3-point range. but you like the production in the fantasy point department here. So he's a potential guy to look at. Not my number one value option because there's a lot of spots we can save, but one guy that I'm looking at a little bit today. You know, Anthony Davis, I know Milwaukee, he hasn't played in a while, didn't play last game. Like, how much is he going to play? But, man, I mean, the thing about power forward, there's not a lot of great options for us. So this can be a position scarcity thing where you just take Anthony Davis because you know he's going to, you know, be so much better than the rest of the players at this position. So I don't mind him if he's in the lineup tonight. I don't think they'd play him if he wasn't healthy, nearly played last game. So I'm going to go there if he's in the lineup. I think at 11-1 is like a pure spend and probably be contrarian because I don't think most people will. Mirotic was a stud, so if Markkanen's out again, we can fire him up at just 4.8. Bobby Portis as well played really well. It's weird to see both those guys play well together, slap high fives when they were beating each other up. But nonetheless, good game by Chicago last time out. I wouldn't be surprised to see them, you know, kind of keep that going a little bit here if they continue to win games. So don't mind either of those two guys here today. Serge Ibaka has been playing pretty well, and he gets a great matchup versus Phoenix. 30th in the DVP, 5,800 is his salary. Again, finally got over 30 minutes last game too, and just getting it done. So I think he is an absolute play for us today. I'm not buying the Kaminsky game against Houston last time out, but he's so cheap, I don't think he's out of the realm of possibility. Under 4K over on FanDuel. So on that site in particular, he's a guy that we can definitely look in using as a salary saver. Let's see, Marquess Chris, not a bad game yesterday, 23 fantasy points, but 4,600, probably can't go there. 4K on DraftKings, a little bit more interesting of a spot there for him. But again, you look at these names, like, I don't love Favors. He's all right versus Chicago, but not a guy that I'm looking to jam in there. I mean, Jason Tatum is popping a little bit here against Denver in the whole projection model, but I don't know. I don't love this spot. Again, they just play so deep, that Boston team in that front court. It's hard for me to get excited about any of those guys. So let's get to the final position, and that's the center spot. And we'll see. I mean, we've got Aaron Baines as the top projected guy we have on the slate tonight, which is interesting to me. I don't think Al Horford, is he? I believe he is out tonight, but I'll have to double check that. If he would be out, then yeah, Aaron Baines, Thies would be the other guy who would likely get an uptick in minutes. Hold on here. Okay, he is out. He is resting tonight. So yes, Baines and Thies are going to get a little bit of a bump there in minutes. So that makes a little bit more sense. I was like, why is he the number one guy? So missed that rest news, but so he's 3,600. Again, he's going to be a path to stars and scrubs if you want to go there. I don't think I'm doing that in cash games. But the problem is center, it's like a lot of really tough to, you know, find guys you love. Might go back to the well with Marc Gasol here just as a super consistent guy. I mean, last game he didn't shoot the ball well at all. 5 of 14 from the field. That's typically not what we see from him and was pretty much down in every single category. So I think this is a bounce back spot for him against Washington. I mean, he did play 42 minutes, a couple of games before Miami. Not an easy matchup in their pace. So I think it's a bounce back game for Gasol. Obviously, Cousins is great if you can get him in there. I mean, Milwaukee won't have anybody who can guard him. So you can make a case that, you know, certainly if Davis is out, you just roll him in your lineup and move on. But I definitely like some DeMarcus Cousins, no question about it. Just a matter of you can fit him in or not. 11K on DraftKings. DeAndre Jordan's been an absolute beast, and he's kind of the middle tier guy that I like. Adams is fine against Indiana, but the price has come up. But Jordan's just literally owning the glass right now. They have nobody else to rebound the basketball, and he's doing enough in the other spots to make it work. I'm going to give you a guy here, Rudy Gobert against Chicago. I think it's about time. The minutes are starting to tick up. And this is a guy who was like 9K not that long ago. He's 7,400 today. Not the best matchup on the board here potentially, but he's just a guy that you know, once he gets over that 30-minute mark, you can look back. He was an $8,600 player, $8,700 player, 9K. Now he's down to 74. So you just want to catch this right on the swing up. This could be a spot. DraftKings 6,600 as well. Fantasy draft at 11.9. So he is in play for me. Vooch has been on fire lately. I mean, last game, major outlier on the assist side of things with 10. But, you know, a guy who's definitely been doing a lot on the boards. Going to be a little bit more competitive this go-around with DeAndre Jordan on there. But 66, 55, 63. We'll see if the hot streak continues with him. 93 on FanDuel, 88 on DraftKings, 16K on Fantasy Draft. On a site where you can play multiple centers, looks pretty attractive. All right, that's going to do it for our game analysis. Coming up now, interview with Small Time, the winner of the Fantasy Draft Carolina Millions, right here on the, almost said SiriusXM, on the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. All right, really excited for our next guest as he, of course, was the big winner of the Carolina Millions live final over on our sponsor site, Fantasy Draft. So thought it was only appropriate to bring him on into the show and hear about that experience and what it's like to win, you know, $200,000 on a given day. And we welcome in Mr. Small Time, David Knutson. David, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great, Dan. Thanks for having me.
Well, first off, very big congratulations to you on the win, but we got to learn a little bit about you, how you got in, your kind of history as a player. So let's start with getting into this Fantasy Draft Live final. What were the circumstances around it? Was it something that you were focused on? Why'd you decide to, you know, enter the satellite? Take me through your whole kind of playing experience over there on Fantasy Draft to start out.
Sure. Well, I'm pretty new to Fantasy Draft. I only started my account with them, I think, in October, actually. I've been playing DFS for 3 years now, mostly as a part-time player. This year, I decided to kind of focus more on, you know, trying to turn a passion of mine, which is fantasy football. I've been playing fantasy football for 15 years now. So, yeah, I really want to focus this year on seeing if I could, you know, actually win some of these tournaments. So, with Fantasy Draft, yeah, I started in October. I do a little bit of NBA, a little bit of NFL. And I'm mostly looking for the big wins with the GPPs. I'm not trying to grind out or do cash games or anything like that. I'm a poker player. Been playing poker for a long time. So at this point in my life, I really am looking for those kind of big cashes. So when I saw that they had the Carolina Millions, that's actually the reason that I started with the site. Went on there and tried to satellite in. And I actually ended up doing that. I think it was, I don't even remember the cost of the satellite. It was like five or 10 or 20 or something like that. And it was an NBA night. And yeah, I think it was top 10, got into the Carolina Millions satellite, the main one, the 250 buy-in. So satellited into that. And then, had the best score that week to get me into the tournament. It was my best play that week, I think, was a Jared Cook play. And it's funny because I had set that lineup on Tuesday and left it that way all the way through, which is pretty rare.
Yeah.
There weren't a lot of late injuries in that instance. But that's kind of my philosophy, too, is, you know, I like to pick my lineups fresh after the weekend. I take a lot of notes when I watch the games. And I'm more of a feel guy, as someone that goes off of you know, the intangible stuff that you don't really get to see with the stats, you know, two players embracing on the sidelines, things like that. And set that lineup on Tuesday and it took me all the way to the championship. And with the championship. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, when you set the championship lineup, tell me you didn't make it on a Tuesday and leave it the whole time.
No, I had a couple changes. You know, I kind of view that finals as, you know, a hybrid between cash and GPP. I knew there were some really good players in that final, you know, some heavy hitters.
Yeah.
So I knew that I had to have some contrarian plays there. And for me, I'm originally from New York, so I'm a big New York Giants fan. I've been watching them all year. I know the team really well. And I know, there's no one out there that knows better than me how bad that team is looking right now. And they're, the dire straits that they're in, especially with their defense. You know, I had saw that Dak and Dez connected the week before, the week prior, even though they haven't had a great season together. So that was my big contrarian play, was the Dak to Dez connection. I didn't think anyone would be on that. And then my third one was Kareem Hunt, who, people said he's kind of been hitting a wall, but really he's been playing well. He's just not getting the goal line opportunities. He's been running real well. So I knew, those are my three big contrarian plays. And then I went with a lot of chalky stuff with Bernard and Kelsey. And I just knew if those three go off, I got a really good shot at this whole thing.
Yeah.
I was playing for third, or fifth. I was going for first.
Yeah, I mean, it was an interesting lineup build over there this week, because you did have such clear chalk, and especially in a tournament that was, I believe a 10-man live final. You had Bernard at 91%, Gurley at 83%, Hopkins at 83%, Kelsey in every single lineup on the site at 100%. So it was just a matter of figuring out that spot that other people weren't going to be on. Now, what was it about the Kareem Hunt situation? Because I get you on Dak and Dez. Like, that's a strong correlation. And I think that Dak was, almost due to, kind of rebound here after a couple of lousy weeks. But Kareem Hunt, he has been the thorn in DFS's side for, the last month. Or longer. What was it about that matchup that you said, I'm going to take the plunge here?
Well, that was part of the reason. I had played him 3 weeks in a row leading up to that, and he kind of burned me three weeks in a row. And, as I mentioned, I'm going for the big wins. I'm not really I'm not looking to grind things out. So, but I watched every one of his games, and he ran really well, and there was no reason for him to not getting these touchdown opportunities. I just felt like he was overdue. And, Alex Smith had the huge game the week before against the Jets with, the four touchdowns. And honestly, it was a gut feeling that he hadn't scored, I think, since week three. It was week three or four he hadn't scored. And I felt like, he was going to get the opportunity. The Raiders are not a strong team. And I was hoping he'd finally be able to capitalize. And I didn't think anyone would be on him. I knew with those three guys, I could probably, maybe one or two. I think one other person had Dak, and I don't think anyone else had Hunt. So, those were my three big plays that got me there.
So, were you pretty familiar with the field that you were going against? Because you legitimately faced, one of the tougher live finals that we've ever seen in terms of, straight out opponents. Yes, you get a lot of these guys in the 100, 200 man live finals, but in a 10 man, you were loaded up with some pretty top notch competition. I don't think anybody's intimidated when building a daily fantasy lineup because we're all still building it, but you probably knew that you had to have a pretty darn good day if you were going to win this. I mean, did that go into the contrarian thought process that you spoke about of really trying to go off the board in a couple of spots?
Yeah, absolutely. I knew there were some serious heavy hitters in that tournament, and I knew I would have to think out of the box. I subscribe to a lot of the Roto Grinders podcast, football guys, the sharp DFS guy. So, I listen to a lot of podcasts and, I do my fair amount of research, and throughout the entire week, I knew, those three guys that I had mentioned that I played my contrarian picks, they weren't really mentioned by anyone. And if they were, it was just a passerby kind of mention. So I knew that I had to be on a few guys that these heavy hitters would not be looking at or would kind of overlook. I was hoping some people would be on Alex Smith because of what he did the week before. I didn't realize. I think there was four or five teams that picked Alex Smith in this. So when I saw that, also I felt pretty good, knowing that only one other person had Dak. But yeah, it was a little intimidating. I don't really get intimidated easily.
Sure.
And actually, it was more exciting that way.
I'd rather
go up against the best. That's the kind of what I'm looking to do here for. You're going to make a splash. You want to play with the best.
So you said, so where are you from? Where you live?
From New York originally. I live in San Francisco now. Live and work out here in San Francisco.
Okay, and you said that you're a poker player. Is that like is that your main gig? Is that what you do? Is that what you do out in Cali?
No, I have a 9-to-5 job.
Okay.
So this is more of, you know, the part time stuff for me is poker and DFS. I'm a huge sports fan. I've grown up watching sports and, you know, Mets, New York Giants. You know, when I was like 9 years old, I used to try to figure out who the Mets would, you know, what they would do with their off season moves and write down every player and their salary. So I've always been interested in this side of the players and on teams and with the three major sports. So, when DFS came out, that was I loved that because, you know, it's about really solving puzzles.
Yep.
The salaries and the algorithms. And that's that really drew me to DFS. But, no, yeah, I have a 9-to-5 regular Monday through Friday 9-to-5 gig, and I kind of do this part-time.
So where do you kind of move from here? Like you said, you want to make this passion more of something that's more than just a passion. Like, is this a bankroll boost that's going to, you know, enable you to potentially move there? I mean, we always tell people, hey, don't get over your head. Don't quit your job because of one big win. But are you looking to be like potentially more aggressive or see how where you are in a couple of years? What's the long-term plan for you with DFS? Because clearly you got, you know, a strong passion for it and something that you, you mentioned earlier, something that you'd really like to kind of focus most of your attention on if possible.
Yeah, that's a good question. I'll probably, you know, need to take a couple of weeks before I really know what I'm going to, what the answer is to that. But I'll tell you this, I'm definitely going to be more involved now that I've had this win. It gives you a little leeway. I'll be able to, you know, get some more lineups in there and things like that. As far as, making this a full-time thing, I'm not exactly sure. Kind of see how that plays out. But yes, this will definitely make me more heavily involved. But I've gotten pretty involved this season for the first time, even though I've been playing for a few years. And that was a conscious decision that I would, spend a certain amount of time each day studying and watching every game. That takes time in itself.
So you said you've been playing for about 3 years or so. So was this your first live final that you've qualified for?
Yes, first live final. I've had a couple other decent tournament wins in some of the other sites, but this is by far the biggest, and yes, first live.
So what do you think of the experience? I mean, people talk about it. I've talked about them all the time on my podcast. I'm curious, as somebody who was at one for their first ever experience, was it what you expected? Did you expect more? But like, what were your overall impressions about, you know, a DFS live final? And you recommend people continuing to, to try and chase these things. What do you think?
I really do. It was beyond expectations. It's what actually really, it's what drew me to that, to fantasy draft, to having that live final. I think having these live tournaments is an aspect that could kind of, hopefully doesn't get overlooked, and hopefully there's more of them, because it was just an amazing weekend, staying in the Ritz-Carlton, going to the Hornets game, being in a suite right next to Michael Jordan, and Michael Jordan sitting 5 feet away from you, which was, as a Knicks, as a lifelong Knicks fan, it was kind of, bittersweet sitting next to the man that beat you every year, but still, the greatest basketball player ever. And then the suite and the Panthers game and, the entire fantasy draft family there, they were just really hospitable, anything you needed. I'd actually flown my three brothers down just to take part of it. And, we purchased tickets for them to go to the other games, but fantasy draft is amazing. Let them come in and hang out in the suite and thing and the after party. So, I mean, it's one of the best weekends of my life. It was just, it was fantastic. These live finals, I'll be going for every one of these for sure.
Yeah, I always enjoy the camaraderie between players a little bit too. I mean, it's kind of interesting too. Once you set that lineup, there's nothing you can really do. As somebody who, you know, plays poker, I think you could say like there's a little bit of a difference between a poker player in a poker tournament versus a DFS player in a DFS tournament. Like, you know, I guess sometimes you can have camaraderie at poker tables, but ultimately, you know, you're down to business pretty much every single hand, especially down at the end. But in DFS, it's like, let's kick back and drink some beers and enjoy this and swap some DFS war stories along the way. Did you enjoy that aspect of it too?
Yeah, I really did. It was an interesting, you know, in the beginning, before the lineups had set on Saturday when we went to the basketball game, it was a different atmosphere than on Sunday.
Yeah.
Everyone's a little close to the cuff. No one wants to talk too much about, you know, their strategies and things. But once we got into that Panther suite, you know, 1 o'clock on Sunday, all the lineups had been set. Everyone kind of, you know, had a chance to take a deep breath, sit back, and enjoy each other's company and throw out some different strategies on how we chose our lineups, which was really interesting to hear what the thought process behind everyone. And it was a great group of people. So it was just, it was a lot of fun. And then the after party, watching the four o'clock games, at the All American Pub down there. I mean, it was, unforgettable experience.
You didn't have a major sweat by the looks of it. You won pretty handily, didn't you?
I did. You know, at one point, I think it was when we were walking to the All-American Pub after the Panthers game, Shady had just scored in overtime, and I knew some people were going to be on McCoy. I almost had him in my lineup. I almost went with McCoy and Graham instead of Kelsey and who was the other guy I went with? Melvin Gordon. And I knew that more people would be on McCoy than Gordon. I just thought that Gordon would get a good share of carries that game. And so we're walking over, and McCoy runs for that touchdown, and a couple guys jumped up and down, and I was like, oh, this could make it close. But I was happy to see the Big Mel, who was closest to me, had Jacksonville's D. And I was, you know, I was a big believer in Russell Wilson. I almost went with him this week as well. I thought it was just a little too risky. So I was a big believer in Russ, and I thought he would score some points against Jacksonville, which he didn't do right away. It started off a little rocky and a few picks, but after Russ started throwing the ball down the field second half, I felt pretty good.
They also had that punt return down to the one-yard line, Jacksonville. They nearly got that defensive score, too. So that would have what's that?
No, yeah, I was going to say I had a lot of one-yard line kind of plays. Travis Kelce had the touchdown that was that was called back, put on the one, and Hunt scored. And then, yeah, that punt returned down to the one, and I think there was one other play where it went down to the one. Oh, Melvin Gordon, the Keenan Allen.
Yeah.
He caught it deep, and he got knocked down the one-yard line, and then Gordon ran it.
Yeah, I remember that one, yep.
Really fun.
You got on the right side of the one-yard variance this week, and what a week for it to happen, $200,000. He goes by Small Time. What's the Twitter handle? I saw you shot me if I was at Small Time DFS. Is that what we're rolling with?
Yeah, Small Time _DFS, yeah.
All right, give him a follow over there on Twitter. And, David, pleasure chatting with you. Congrats on the win. Hopefully we'll see some more of you out in the whole DFS community and world moving forward. And congrats, man. Good stuff.
Thank you, Dan. I really appreciate it, man. You're well-known in these parts, and it's a pleasure to be able to chat with you, so I appreciate it.
Hey everyone, it's Dan Bach of Roto Grinders here to tell you about a great new innovative media event we've got going that we're going to host right here on RG. It's going to be happening on Sunday, December the 17th, and we're calling it our Sweat Show Extravaganza. That's right, we're going to be doing an all-afternoon second screen experience for you daily fantasy players as you watch the NFL games. It's going to be a bunch of your favorite hosts here at Roto Grinders. You'll get myself, you'll get Head Chopper, you'll get David Kitchen, you got Britt, you've got Siege, you got Bobby, you got Grant, you got Colosi, you got Meansy, you got all these guys. We're going to help you build lineups for the afternoon games, for the primetime slate. We're also going to be going through results DB. We'll review our own cash lineups and GPP lineups. We'll also make swaps when we need to right before the afternoon games get started. We're going to be giving away some swag packs, playing some live play drafts as well. And I think it's going to be fun too. We've got the DraftKings live final happening down in Miami. So we'll be bringing in a couple of those finalists to talk about their experience and competing for $2 million. So all this is happening on Sunday, December the 17th, right when the games get started. It's going to be live right here at rotogrinders.com. See you then.